Good morning. We're talking about restaurants on all sides weekend today. I'm Marilyn Smith, and joining me this morning is WOSU restaurant reviewer Rich Terapak and his son. They both do restaurant reviews for our webpage, along with the restaurant widow. Sounds so sad. Food blogger Lisa Dillman, and you're invited to join the
Still
conversation.
Happily married, as far as
that's true. Yes.
292-8513 is your reservation number to call. We're going to talk about something new here in Columbus to start off. Rich, you were telling me the other day about a new feature where people are taking residents, and I assume out of towners, around on a restaurant tour.
Right. There's a woman by the name of Beth. Wolf, Bethia Wolf, B-E-T-H-I-A. She's British. She's from London. And she and her boyfriend have decided to pick up on an idea that's very popular in cities like Chicago, where they have several of these going on. And it's restaurant tours. And they've got a van that they've wrapped in Columbus paraphernalia. And they can seat about, 12 people, Rich?
Yeah, I think they seat 14. And to just kind of qualify, you know, how she got into this, Bethia is the author of the Alt Eats Columbus blog, which is a blog she writes on kind of out-of-the-way restaurants, kind of ethnic cuisines that most people wouldn't visit. And then she also does the Taco Trucks Columbus blog, and that's actually how she got into wanting to start the food tour.
So the food blogosphere is crowded.
It's crowded. And we went on the very first – The maiden voyage,
yeah. as she called it,
of the tours, and there are different kinds of tours. We went on essentially the one that I think, and it's probably their specialty, is unique and out of the way ethnic.
The Alt Eats tour,
yeah.
Alt for alternative.
Exactly. Alternative, yeah, and you know. We also found out there are now 40 different taco trucks in Columbus, and they, you know, we've got some from Ecuador, and we've got some from Guatemala, and we've got some. It's not just, you know, kind of a classic Mexican taco.
And when they started out, they were primarily on the west side, but I don't think they're so much confined just to that part of town.
There were a bunch of them. No, they drove us by. Most of the stuff we saw was in the Cleveland Avenue 161 area, and there were a number that we drove by. Up in that neck of the woods. So,
now, does this tour change, or is it always the same restaurants on the?
No. She has like 4 different tours. One of them is the Short North, and it's kind of a high end.
It's a walking tour. Yeah. I think they do Rigsby's and Need. Maybe not Rigsby's, but I know they do Need and a couple
others.
Rigsby's. They do Rigsby's, yeah. and then the Taco Truck Tour and the Alt Eats Tour are the van tours. And from what she told us, they plan to kind of change them up every 2 months or so, just to keep it fresh,
yeah,
and they want people, you know, obviously repeat customers to come back. You know, you're not going to take the same tour twice. The first one we went on was great. We visited 5 different restaurants. The first one was up in the Columbus Square development, up on the north side.
Cleveland and 161.
About there, yeah. And the first place was called Salam Market. It's a Muslim market, basically Middle Eastern, halal meats. They did these pita pies that were great.
Go there quickly because they only prepare the pies
until
August.
Ramadan, yeah,
until August 10th, and then they take off until September 11th for Ramadan. So if you want to get in there in the next 4 days.
So do you just sample some products on every stop? It's obviously you're not eating
each
a full
place.
Meal, little piggies at every restaurant.
We were pretty full by the time we were done.
They kind of, you know, and I think that was one thing Bethy was going to like let them know. She coordinates with them at each place, you know, to have something.
So
you're not sitting down and waiting, you know, a half an hour for your food at each, you know, it's ready when you get there. And they overfed us a little bit on the maiden run.
Well,
wasn't a bad thing.
But
and other than that market, we did a Vietnamese restaurant called My Li, which is also in the Columbus Square development.
It's one of my favorites.
Yeah. Great sandwiches. And then African restaurant, which is one of the better known in the Somali community. It's one of the oldest Somali restaurants here in town. It's been around about 14 years.
Cafe Paradise. And it's
African. Was it called African Paradise? Or?
Cafe Paradise.
Okay.
And it was Paradiso, and they sold it. The owner sold it about 4 years ago. I'd been there probably 5 years ago, and it is much improved.
Yeah, you said it wasn't that good last time.
And no, it was great. They do
try the goat if you go there. Yeah. I mean, that's not, you know, it's a braised dish, so it's, you know, nice and tender.
And if you go as a group, take about 14 people because there was so much food.
It was kind of sad that we had to send it.
So these aren't necessarily random tours where you are paired with strangers. You can set up your own tour.
Absolutely. I hope that, you know, the Columbus Convention Bureau is now called Experience Columbus, and I think this would be a great thing for Experience Columbus to do for various, you know, to bring people who are here scouting out convention space or whatever. I was thinking of it'd be a great thing to have our summer law clerks do, but most of whom are from out of town.
Great way to get to see the city,
definitely.
Just to show what Columbus has to offer.
Yeah.
292-8513. We're talking about Columbus restaurants today with WOSU restaurant critics Rich Terapak and his son Rich, and along with blogger Lisa Dillman, who writes about food on her webpage, Restaurant Widow. And Lisa, I would think that this might be something you could sort of get your hand into, tours of the city. You do it kind of on the virtually, I suppose.
I suppose. I have done a lot of farmers market, nothing like official.
Yes, this
or
spring,
anything.
I recall seeing that.
Yeah, but I have occasionally taken people around farmers markets and stuff, especially people who've never shopped at farmers markets before, you know, just help them get acquainted with the farmers and, you know, kind of map out the market, calculate how they're going to do their shopping and how they might start to think about creating a menu while they're shopping, since you don't always know what you're going to get at the farmers market.
Right.
But yeah, I definitely think there's a, you know, van tours are a great idea, you know, definitely tapping into a good resource in Columbus.
Yeah, I had never been to any of these places before.
And
I probably never would have. I was at the Paradiso when it was something else. But, we wouldn't have found them. And it was great. The Mee Lee place that you like, Lisa, mm-hmm. was terrific. What's the name of the little beignet sandwich?
Banh mi.
They have a great pâté there on their banh mi.
Yeah, instead of a mayonnaise.
What language are you speaking?
Vietnamese.
I'll explain the banh mi if I may.
Yes, you're
not
welcome.
I will acknowledge I've never been to Vietnam, so I am not an authority. But standardly, and there's a lot of French influence in mm-hmm. Vietnamese cooking because it was occupied by France. And so the banh mi is like a crusty French roll, and it usually has pâté, like a liver pâté, and grilled meats. Pork sometimes doesn't always have pâté, but so meat, cilantro, and pickled vegetables is kind of like the standard banh mi. And so the one they have at Mee Lee is pâté, like three kinds of pork, and then it's pickled carrots and jalapenos.
You know, I think in some of my research I was reading about these, and rather than taco trucks out in California, they've got these Vietnamese food trucks out there. And I suppose there's nothing to stop people here. We could have a whole cavalcade
food trucks. Affordable, almost healthy version of fast food. Mm-hmm. When I lived in San Francisco, these places were big. I mean, they had them all over the place, and you can grab these sandwiches for like $2. I mean, at most of these type places.
Yeah.
And they're healthier than fast food. I mean, it's still plenty of carbs.
These were delicious sandwiches. It's like a French sandwich as you get, you know.
Fresh ingredients. You know, I mean, the cilantro and the pickled vegetables, you know, I mean, it's.
Oh, and usually mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cute mayonnaise. Mm-hmm.
Great sandwich on a hot day.
Yeah, it is.
292-8513.
Plenty to eat.
And we're talking about restaurants and food as we approach lunchtime here in Columbus. And Lisa, one of the things you wanted to talk about and that we're taking to the road again is some restaurants that are perhaps worth a short drive outside of Columbus.
Yeah. We talked a little bit about I'm guest serving at the Short Story in Granville this weekend.
Whose menu I just happened to have run off today.
And it looks delicious, and I'm really excited to work and eat. But that's sort of what got me thinking. The Winds Cafe, of course, is, you know, one of my favorite restaurants like 20 years now. And
that's in Yellow Springs.
And it's only about 45 minutes away.
Yeah, and that's not far. And there's lots of hiking and fun stuff to do in Yellow Springs.
It's a great town.
It is, yeah. And lightweight hiking. I mean, anyone, you know, you can stop and walk around the gorge and
It's our own little Berkeley.
It's flat hiking. Yeah. It's Ohio hiking.
And this is the Glen Helen. Is it a national?
John Bryan State Park is right there, too.
Mm-hmm. And there's part of Glen Helen is a raptor rescue, so they rescue, like, eagles and owls, and you can go, part of the park, you can go look at the raptors, and it's one of my favorite things at Glen Helen.
And I'm not sure what the status of Antioch is. I think it may have actually reopened under another name, but has that hurt small businesses?
The graduate programs are still there. It was the undergraduate programs that were closed down. Mm-hmm. And Antioch has five different campuses run out of the Ohio campus. They're in Arizona.
There used to be one in Baltimore, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So those are all doing well.
They had to realign themselves for funding or some issue like that. I mean, because when we were there last year, it was shut down. Yeah. I mean, there was, you know,
was
all the grass was overgrown, you know, around the buildings. It was kind of sad.
But has that affected businesses in
Ohio? It didn't look like it. I mean, it's a really small town. Yes, there's not a ton of, you know, retail there or restaurants. So, I mean, I think, you know, I didn't see any, you know, places with for rent signs at all when we were there.
Yeah.
And you know, they do a decent, weekend tourism business, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I think so. You know, folks, it's 20 minutes from Dayton.
Hour from Cincinnati, hour from Columbus.
So if you're going to the Air Force Museum or something, it's certainly a good place to probably stop on your way down.
Right. And it's always busy. Always busy.
292-8513, that's the number to call if you'd like to talk with our panel of food reviewers today. Lisa, as I said, I did type out the menu for Short Story. Is that that's the name of it? Mm-hmm. And you say you're guest serving?
Yes.
You're sort of a celebrity server.
No, I'm not. I'm just my friend works there, and everyone apparently is on vacation. And so, you know, thought I'd get out.
You're helping out.
Yes, just helping out. Oh, yes, I'm not doing a celebrity spot or anything.
And in order to help people order food, you've got to taste it all.
That's right.
Yeah. I was going to say.
This is a pretty impressive menu.
It is. They have Kobe beef carpaccio, which sounds awesome to me. And they have foie gras for starter and desserts.
Wow.
So that's a winner in my book. I know it's not politically correct, but twice
especially
a year.
For dessert. 292-8513, and we are going to take a break here. But there are Granville is a relatively small town. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if it qualifies as a city, but yet it boasts a number of high-end fine dining restaurants.
It does. Granville Inn.
The Granville, Buxton. There's one that I'm just not thinking. They've got a couple of new ones. That I will not be able to think of. Let me see if I can. I've got notes someplace that might be able to help me. It's also much easier to get to these days because 161 is now four-lane all the way out, and you can get there in about 35 minutes tops.
Yeah, it really wasn't bad. Yesterday was only like the second time I've been to Granville, and it's adorable, and it really is not very far away at all.
Yeah, you can much more easily get to the Stover Terrapack cooking classes at Fairluck Cuisine. A plug.
Oh, that's right.
And we'll talk about that more after we come back from this break. This is All Sides Weekend. I'm Marilyn Smith, and we'll be back in a minute.
Start your day with local updates from the award-winning WOSU news team.
In the first quarter of this year, Franklin County saw almost 2,800 home foreclosures, a nearly 14% increase over the same period last year.
The individual that was in the home, I believe his business failed, so he had no income and was not able to keep the house.
Hear the latest in local and national news with Morning Edition on WOSU 89.7 FM.
Good morning, this is WOSU 820 NPR News, and it's 11:20 and 77 degrees in downtown Columbus. Sunshine today and a high of 82. Clear skies tonight, a low of 60 degrees. Sunshine for Saturday and a high of 85, and a beautiful Sunday too. Sunshine and a high of 88. All Sides Weekend continues. This is WOSU 820 NPR News. Thanks for joining us this morning.
And we're back with our panel of food critics here. I'm Marilyn Smith. This is All Sides Weekend. We're talking with Rich Terrapack and his son, Rich, who do restaurant reviews right here at WOSU for our website, along with food blogger Lisa Dillman, who writes the blog Restaurant Widow. We were talking just before the break there, Rich, about cooking classes, which you were saying during the break have become something of a rarity.
I think they have, you know, a number of years ago, and I think it's partly attributed to the popularity of the Cooking Channel, so you don't have to leave the comfort of your family room, particularly if the kitchen is right nearby. You can almost duplicate the dish on the spot. There are still a couple. Sur La Table at Easton actually has an executive chef who does all of their classes, so they don't do guest cooks as good buddy Steve Stover and I have done for years. We started at the Emporium and then La Belle Poem, and there was always a faculty of cooks, so because we only do it once a quarter. The other place is
must be tenured
after 27 years. I don't know if the folk we know, we did one at the fair this week.
This week, actually.
A friend of mine was going to a cooking demo at the fair today, and so I was kind of jealous.
go support the fair. And, the butter cow is still there, and they got now butter Bengals and a butter brown. So it's hard to say. Anyway, there's one out, there's a cooking school we're now cooking at out in Granville, just beyond Granville, actually. Called Fair La Cuisine, and it's real easy to get to down 161. You take it till you can see Cherry Valley on the right hand side. Turn left instead, Susan Kaiser runs it and does a great job. There are also some classes done by good friends like Jim Boudreaux at what's known as the Live Fire Theater at the new garden area at Franklin Park Conservatory. And he usually, I don't know, the schedule is kind of hard to come up with, but they're generally on Saturdays for a few hours. And it was come watch. It's outdoors. It's fun.
And he's an extraordinary griller. I don't know if that's actually
yeah,
right.
Oh, yeah. No. He's a pyromaniac. And so he admits it. So that's the reason that there's a little in stone above the fire. One of the fireplaces in this little fire theater is in. Brought to you by the inspiration of Jim Boudreaux.
And, you know, he is a very inspiring person. When it comes to food, I have never heard anyone who is more passionate about talking about food than Jim Boudreaux. And he used to do restaurant reviews for us a long, long time ago. And it would be just worth, as you say, the theater.
It would. He's very charming.
Yeah, his enthusiasm is incredible, and he really knows his stuff. And we're lucky to have always lived about five doors away because he has every cookbook, every piece of equipment that you could ever need. So you borrow a lot.
And, of course, also brought the city, Ann Fletcher and Spencer Boudreaux, the brain, you know, his children who opened Pastacia Vera. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
We owe him lots.
The best pastries in the Midwest.
City barbecue, of course.
Yeah. So there are classes there. I don't know if there are any
Whole others. Foods up at 161 and Sawmill also does classes every now and then. And then I think, also they sometimes put things on at the North Market and that Dispatch Kitchen as well.
Right.
The Hills Market does a lot of cooking classes in the wintertime mostly.
It does still exist, but you're right. The advent of TV and the Food Network definitely brings it, to people rather than people having to go to it.
Yeah, but it's a lot of fun to be in a classroom setting.
If you have questions or if something is kind of tricky to demonstrate some technique.
Yeah. And then you can smell it and actually taste it.
Exactly. Well, I get a lot of requests for cooking classes, so I think that I definitely think there's a market for cooking classes, so.
And Hubert Seifert does one every once in a while at Spaggio's as well.
2928513, and we have Jerry joining us. Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Wonderful program. Since doctors say breakfast is the most important meal of the day, and probably a third of Americans don't eat anything but have coffee and orange juice, I want to recommend, thanks to WOSU, the best, that's the name of the restaurant, the best breakfast and sandwich shop. On Westerville Road, south of 270, just south of Aldi's, on the east side of 3C, the old 3C highway. And we went there after I heard about it on WOSU, had a three-egg omelet, mushrooms, onions, green peppers, whatever you want, any three. Home fries made from scratch, not taken out, frozen, and dumped in a vat of boiling whatever. And whole grain toast baked fresh in the restaurant. Fantastic.
Yeah, That's great.
And I think it was a listener that called in with that suggestion about going to the best, right?
Well, you did a program on it.
There was that breakfast documentary a few weeks ago.
Yeah, Nick Decker.
Yeah.
And what was the name of the other restaurant?
Skillet.
The German. The Skillet?
Skillet. Mm-hmm.
I can't find it in the
old pages.
It's
just Skillet. It's not the
Skillet. It's fairly new.
It's
in the old Banana Bean location.
On Whittier.
Oh, okay.
On Whittier, kind of just down the street from that Coney shop.
Gotcha. Yeah. By the way, for restaurants outside of Columbus, don't omit the Dutch Kitchen. Now, I'm not talking about the Dutchman in Plain City. Hmm. Same families own them, but I'm talking about the Dutch Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 miles southwest on the west side of Route 42. Great breakfast, wonderful place just to sit and chew the fat and have a great breakfast or whatever. You know, Miss Smith, you must really be an early riser getting on there at 5 a.m.
Yes.
Anyway,
yes.
We all love to get up with her cheerful voice.
Wake up, Marilyn. Wake up.
Yeah. If none of you folks have tried the best breakfast and sandwich shop, try it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Jerry. And I think you might run into our morning editor, Tom Borkerding, at the best, because I think that that's a place that he frequents on occasion.
Places like the Wildflower, a great neighborhood spot.
In Clintonville.
Just north of East North Broadway on Indianola, a couple blocks. Terrific place. And it's that kind of place you like to sit around and the neighborhood comes in and they also do their own pastries, and it's fun.
Yeah,
and you almost feel as though you're in somebody's kitchen when you eat there. It's an expanded kitchen, to be sure, but it really has that homey, comfortable feel about it.
Definitely, definitely.
And I recall, Rich, the younger, when we were there, that you ordered a hamburger and you ordered it cooked medium, and you got exactly what
you ordered. Yeah, it was actually medium. I mean, that just never happens anymore, you know, with the, you know, everyone's afraid to poison you or kill you. And I mean, they should be, I suppose, but it's just impossible to get any pink in a burger anywhere anymore. And yeah, it came medium with pink in the middle, which was unbelievable.
Speaking of burgers, we've got to recommend the Little Palace $3 burger.
Oh my God.
What a bargain.
This thing is a beast. For $3, you've never gotten more food.
Well, this is a double-decker slide.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably 2 4-ounce patties, so it's about a half pound of meat with grilled onions and 2 slices of cheese on a little slider bun, so it's, you know, it's about probably 5 inches tall, you know, and then 2 by 2. You know.
And it's $3. They can't, you know, it's got to be a loss leader for them. But so,
I prefer the $2 single decker. That has a perfect balance.
No, if I go back, that's all I'll need.
And I ordered 2 the first time, and it was way too many. I could eat 1. So, yeah, get there quick before they get
raise
on
the
to us and raise the
price.
Well, in the $4, euro?
Euro, yeah.
Euro.
I think we may be fortunate because they are next door to Dirty Frank's, which is, you know, the hot dog joint with, you know, $3 dogs. And I think in order to compete, being next to a place like that, they wanted to put a few, you know, small items on their menu. They also have, you know, normal sandwiches for, you know, $7-$8. But, the small plates, I mean, the gyro, the meatball sandwich, and the burger were all great.
Yeah, they're terrific.
Really liked Little Palace. If you haven't been down to check it out, it's at on 4th Street near Rich, right downtown. And
this was a restaurant that had been established there for years and years and then recently changed hands, closed briefly for renovation. And the new owners, I think, are the people that brought us the Press Grill and the Rossi in the Short North.
And 185.
And 185. Mm-hmm. And they have worked to keep some original items on the menu, and it was...
Well, that's where, like, the gyro comes from. It was formerly owned by a Greek family, I believe, and so they keep, the meatball sandwich is kind of Greek.
And it's fabulously outfitted in...
Oh, great-looking
place. It's original late 60s glory. I mean, it is
for
like...
For fans of Mad Men, you'd love the place.
But it also has that kind of old Victorian, very, very high ceilings, which does cause it to be somewhat noisy at lunch. Yeah. And it's got plate glass front, almost like storefront windows. And you might want to sit with your back to the windows and take advantage of being backlit as I did, optimizing my inner beauty.
it was very loud in there at lunchtime. I mean, I think, you know, at night that might have seemed more appropriate, but it was a little tough to have a conversation.
It's open until 2:30 a.m., so if you can't find a White Castle nearby, go try this double stack burger at 2 o'clock in the morning after you've dropped
And we will be doing a review. We had lunch earlier there this week. We will be doing a review that will appear on our website on WOSU.org. And we're going to go back to the phones and Bethia, and I wonder if this is the Bethia of whom we spoke earlier. Hi.
Yeah, it is.
Hi, Bethia. And,
hi. I wanted to thank you for mentioning the food tours, but I was actually calling because I wanted to mention a couple of other cooking class series that I know about. One is Edible Magazine runs some cooking classes out at Easton at MI Homes. And I haven't had a chance to
get MI Homes building is the one.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I haven't had a chance to attend any of them, but I've heard really good things about them.
Great.
And Tricia, the editor of Edible, is a trained chef, and she does the classes.
And she attends our class, by the way.
Learning from the best.
There's also another chef called Chef RB who runs a series of cooking classes at Wild Goose and focuses on things like demystifying tofu and knife skills, and she did a class on chocolate, and so that's another cooking series.
Tell us about Wild Goose.
Wild Goose is it's a creative art space that's up in North Clintonville, just south of Hudson, and they have all kinds of different activities, but they do a monthly series called Too Many Cooks, which is, I think it's the first Sunday of every month. They have a food-related program. But they also run these cooking classes, which are a separate thing.
Terrific. That's great information. And anything that Bethia says has got to be real because she's got that lovely British accent. It legitimizes everything.
Thanks.
Well, thank you so
thanks,
much.
Bethia.
Thanks so much for your call. And
you're welcome.
Good luck with your tours. It sounds like a really interesting endeavor. And
I don't think we mentioned the website before for anyone who was interested in looking into it. It's columbusfoodadventures.com. If you want to take a look at that.
And I think that there are probably a lot of really creative things, as Rich was mentioning before, that you can do with this, contacting the bureau, the visitors bureau, whatever
right.
it's
or,
called.
Right, or, you know, even if you've got your neighborhood gourmet group, could hop on the bus and go.
Right. If you want to do a bachelorette or bachelor party, just any kind of group get together, or it's also a way to, meet new people who are, shared a lot of the same interests in food as you, So, it works on many levels.
Mm-hmm. Thanks again for your call, 292-8513. I'm Marilyn Smith, and we are talking about Columbus area restaurants. And we've talked about some restaurants outside the city today as well. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call. You can also go online, WOSU, allsides, WOSU.org. We have another caller now, Joe. Hi, go ahead.
How are you doing? I was wondering if you've ever been down to Logan, Ohio. I was there this week, and I asked the secretaries at the company I was visiting if there was a decent local restaurant, and they both chimed up immediately a place called Yo Mama.
Oh, I've heard of Yo Mama's.
I tell you, for $4.28, I got a panini, fair fries, and a drink, and it was good.
And that's Logan.
And I would highly recommend if somebody's in there instead of skipping the McDonald's and actually because they make everything fresh.
That's Logan down like in the Hocking Hills area, not Logan County.
Yeah, down 33.
Okay. Down 33. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I would highly recommend that place.
Well, thank you very much. That's Yo Mama.
Yo Mama.
Not often we get to say that.
Yeah, we used to talk about that. On there.
Wasn't there a place in London we went called Yo Yo Mama? Or was a noodle
Yo Yo Ma.
Yo Yo Ma, yeah, in London. Great, great noodle place.
I think
place
that's an FM restaurant. 292-8513, and we are talking with Rich Terapak and his son, Rich, who do restaurant reviews right here on WOSU, along with Lisa Dillman, who is a blogger, and the name of her very popular blog is The Restaurant Widow. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, Lisa, and I know that this generated quite a bit of controversy a month or so ago, a TV program featuring the chef, the celebrity chef, Anthony Bourdain, who came to Columbus and apparently highlighted a couple of local restaurants, but really set off a firestorm of controversy because he characterized Columbus as kind of a mall city filled with Applebee's.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you want to say about it?
Yes, I, you know, I think a lot of people were, you know, disappointed in the show. You know, personally, it was kind of like they were going to the Heartland kind of on a whirlwind tour. Unfortunately, they didn't get to spend very much time in Columbus, and they didn't get to vet any people in town to be on the show to eat with Mr. Bourdain. So Michael Ruhlman, who is a cookbook author, came down, and I guess he's from Cleveland, and you know,
and so there was that sort of Cleveland superiority complex showing its ugly side.
Yeah,
exactly. And I think from what I read, Michael Ruhlman got a good bit of backlash on his own, I think, Twitter account. I read that he actually put out an apology saying, you know, I don't know anything about Columbus, to be honest. Yeah. You know, my buddy asked me to come down and do this. Mm-hmm. So I think it was, you know, just a case of them, you know, being in town very briefly. They gave great credit to Kihachi, the restaurant they dined in, and also Clever Crow
mm-hmm.
Pizza. The two places they featured, you know, they said very nice things about. But for those of you who didn't catch it, you know, they did a lot of, you know, panning of the, you know, the strip malls and, you know, the plethora of fast food that we have here. And although that is
it's such a common rap, it seemed, you know,
it is true. I mean, we are a test market for a ton of fast food, but that's kind of what, I don't know, what we try and kind of are fighting against to.
Yeah.
I will say, you know, just it was kind of ironic because after the shoot, after, you know, listening to the conversation, everything, and I will say, I won't quote anything, but Ruhlman and Bourdain trashed lots of cities, people, companies. I mean, that they are,
well, the
they're snarky.
Snarky.
That is their shtick. Yeah. And but when Bourdain was ready to go back to the hotel because he desperately wanted to get ready for a show that night, we had to call the cab company three times to get a cab there. And we're so desperate for him to get back to the hotel that we almost folded him up into my two-door Honda Civic, which is like full of junk and,
and
aprons. Yeah, and like has a hole in the bumper. And, you know, so we kind of failed on trying to prove our non-Caltown-ness.
Well, but I think, you know, people from Cleveland, which was a perhaps much more ethnic city and maybe had established fine dining restaurants. While Columbus was still growing and developing, but in the last 25 years or so, we have had a proliferation of really, really good and many ethnic, many diverse restaurants in the city.
Terrific.
It's been phenomenal.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
We're definitely.
And Cleveland has declined over that same period quite a bit, and I think, you know, there's a little bit of, I don't know. I'll stop there.
Yeah,
I don't like Cleveland. I'll just say it. I think it's a horrible city.
What happened to stopping?
I know. I actually really love Cleveland and like was totally mesmerized by the West Side Market and just, you know, so I.
Yeah, the West Side Market, you know, counts. I mean, that's legit.
I mean,
you know, one of the things that you mentioned, it's funny because I had an experience in a great food town, Seattle. I was out there at the end of June for a conference, and I was told by some foodies of a Vietnamese restaurant that was sort of, you know, in a neighborhood that was in decline or maybe in transition, depending on how you look at it. And I had the same experience. It took me 25 minutes to get a taxi. So it's not just Columbus.
Us.
Yeah, it's, you know, there. It's just everybody owns a car these days, even in Seattle where they ride bikes more than anything.
Well, yes, and it is maybe in Chicago and New York. I don't even know if in L.A. you can hail a cab with all that much ease. You know, I think that's probably a little bit.
Oh, outside of New York, San Francisco, Chicago, there's very few cities where you can just hail a cab.
Yeah.
I mean, I have hailed a cab in Columbus, Ohio,
I
will say.
And
live
to tell about it.
Yep.
292-8513, we are going to take a minute break here, and we will be back to talk more about restaurants and other apparently very controversial things.
Thank you. The novel A Happy Marriage by Rafael Iglesias is based on his memories of meeting his wife, falling in love, and getting married, and what it was like years later when she died. The book was described in the New York Times as a profound deliberation on the nature of love, marriage, and the process of dying. On the next Fresh Air, Iglesias talks about the novel, which comes out in paperback next week. Join us.
And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes. It starts at noon, right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. Developed by WOSU Public Media and the Columbus Metropolitan Library, ColumbusNeighborhoods.org features more than 30 neighborhoods in and around the city. It allows users to tell their own stories, post their own photos and video, and contribute to the collective story of Columbus. To be a part of this multimedia public engagement project or to learn more, visit ColumbusNeighborhoods.org. 78 degrees in downtown Columbus at 11:41, sunshine today and a high of 82. Clear skies tonight, a low of 60 degrees, sunshine for Saturday and a high of 85.
Support for WOSU comes from Palmer Miller Nelson Insurance Agency, Incorporated, serving Central Ohio homeowners and businesses for 155 years. 261-6300 or online at pmnins.com.
All Sides Weekend continues on WOSU 820 NPR News.
I'm Marilyn Smith here in Columbus. We're talking about restaurants today with our, theater critics. It's gotten that bad in here. Our restaurant critics, Rich Terapak and his son Rich, along with the restaurant widow, Lisa Dillman. And we're going to take a couple of emails. One from Stephen. Easy Street is apparently opening a second restaurant in Powell. No, the reviewers here have not been there yet, and I didn't even know about this. Anybody else?
I thought it was already open. I've seen it up in Powell.
Well, he says recently.
Okay, opened, it did recently open. I like Easy Street a lot. Love their brunch. The Greek omelet's one of my favorite things.
And this is the one down
brunch.
At Jaeger?
Thurman and Jaeger. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
And then one from Paul, who is talking about a restaurant in Mount Sterling called Ben and Joy's. I didn't even know Mount Sterling had a town, per se. I thought it was just a place you drove through. Sorry, Ben and Joy.
Actually, that's good to know, because I actually get down there for work every now and then, and I wanted to stop there one time, and I didn't really, you know, want to venture.
Says, it's a neighborhood restaurant that serves up good breakfast. A buffet is always on hand.
I think that may be like the one big because I asked someone who I met who's from Mount Sterling. I once said, you know, is there any good place to eat down there? And I think Ben and Joy's is what they replied with. I think it may, you know, one of those places that's been around forever, a local favorite.
Okay, and we have a number of people on the line, 292-8513, and we'll go to Karen. Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to let you know about two different nationalities that my husband and I recently ate at these restaurants. One was Cafe Kabul. Which is Afghani, which was just wonderful, really fresh. They make everything right before they serve it, and it was very reasonable.
Where is that?
It's on Olentangy River Road.
At Ackerman, where Dairy Queen used to be.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I think.
Great.
Yeah,
right up the street.
Right around the corner from us.
Right. That was really wonderful. And then, actually, a couple nights later, we ate at a place called Lac Vietnam. Mm-hmm. Which is a Vietnamese in the Bethel Center, which was also so fresh and so many different spices, and it was just really tasty.
Lac Viet is the one that used to be in the North Market.
It's still in the North Market.
They opened a separate location, and that is a terrific place. You know, great pho, great...
banh mi sandwiches.
Banh mi sandwiches, exactly, and then spring rolls. Terrific stuff.
Yeah. Both very, very fresh food. We just loved
each one of them. But it is still at the North Market, so be sure when you're down there to try it out.
Yeah. Right. And what about the Afghanistan Cafe Kabul? What do they serve?
It's Afghani food that they have a couple of Greek things there, but it's mostly Afghani. And, you know, to be honest with you, I've never eaten it before, so we didn't know what we were eating.
Did you have, like kebabs or what kind
of? They have kebabs, but they had something that we had that had, it was a chicken with sliced carrots and raisins and these spices it was just so flavorful, and it was, both places are extremely reasonable. I mean, we had enough food to easily take home and eat another meal.
That's a good point about these ethnic restaurants. They're not expensive.
Right.
And they generally tend to serve you plenty of food.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Oh, it was just absolutely delicious, both of them.
Okay, two good suggestions.
Thank you.
Cafe Kabul, which is just at the corner of Ackerman and Olentangy, where the Dairy Queen used to be, and then Lafayette. And you say it has two locations, still in the North Market.
And in Bethel Center, she said?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of – it moved to, like, the middle of the west side of North Market, near Jenny's.
Yeah.
Oh, it moved. Okay.
Where the China Dynasty,
the one that got – booted for the health violations.
You're just full of cheer today. 292-8513, and we're going to talk to Tim instead of to you. Hi, Tim.
Hi. Yes, I just had a quick question. I'm in town for the weekend and was looking to try to find some good crab cakes.
Let's see. Where do we have some? I had some decent crab cakes at lunch yesterday at Brio's. M has crab cakes that are pretty good. I'm trying to think
if
of something.
G. Michael's has them on the menu right now. They always make really great crab cakes.
Yeah.
That's in German Village.
Yeah, G. Michael's is on 3rd in German Village. What's the corner? Do you recall?
Probably half a mile in from
it's
Livingston.
Not very far.
Half
it's
a mile south of Livingston.
Willow.
Thank you. And I just had a chance to eat at G. Michael's for the first time in several years the other night and had a terrific meal.
Yeah.
I did a duck a few ways. I think it was a confit and a breast and duck liver, and it was absolutely great.
And Chef Tetzloff and I did work at G. Michael's for a long time, full disclosure, but Chef Tetzloff is one of my favorite chefs in the city and also uses tons and tons of local ingredients and doesn't really talk about it very much, so I always tell him to hire a publicist so he can get that out there.
so you go back to work for him.
Yeah.
And they do change their menu pretty frequently.
They
do,
and they always
on what's available.
Tons of specials. And yeah.
They just brought in a new menu, too. For the summertime, about a week or two ago, I heard. So.
Well, I hope that helps, Tim, on your quest for crab cakes. 292-8513, and Beth is joining us. Hi, Beth.
Hi. One place that doesn't get enough, there's a couple places, Cozy Corner in Gahanna, Hamburger Inn or Hamburger Palace in Old Delaware. They make everything from scratch, as well as Cozy Corner. And then the place around the corner from me, Knotty Pine, I had a rare hamburger, and it was rare, and it was perfectly charred on the outside. Onion rings, not so great, but, I mean, it was an amazing...
It's got a great atmosphere. Talk about the 1950s or 60s.
I know. I want to do an interview with the guy who does the piano bar on Thursdays for my blog, just because he's been there forever.
It's a neighborhood institution in Grandview.
It is. Yeah. It is.
And it's such thank you so much. It's such an odd little location, kind of nestled there among
a
residential area.
Exactly. It's amongst houses.
Yeah, it's a great little place, the Knotty Pine, 3rd in Grandview. 292-8513, if you'd like to add to the list of places to go. How about any new places that people have heard about? Anything?
And so we talked about I know. We heard this on
Need.
The show last time. Need, but Park Creek over on – Mm-hmm. On Arlington, in Arlington, in Old Arlington. Someone called in and said they were in the neighborhood and lived in the neighborhood and wanted to tell us about it. We had a very nice lunch there. If you want a BLT with a half a pound of bacon, be sure to go there.
That is a lovely little place. And it's talk about snuggled in a residential area. I think there's the fire department across the street. We had something of an emergency while we were dining.
There are
kids walking around, some cute little shops. You almost feel transported into another place. It's very quaint.
Yeah.
And there's a big outdoor patio that takes up the entire sidewalk in front of the restaurant.
Yeah, probably 20, 25 feet wide. Mm-hmm.
And this is a very ambitious endeavor. This chef, whose name escapes me now, really does everything, makes everything from scratch.
Makes his own bread products. He cures the meat. He does everything. So, yeah.
Have we talked about DeLevy in
I've mentioned it before. I love it. I think it's great.
And I think the only competition it probably has is po' boys in Clintonville. This is a New Orleans kind of...
Right. It's one guy. He actually he came from Indianapolis, where he worked in another Cajun-style restaurant. And with the blessing of those owners, he wanted to start his own thing in Columbus. And he does everything there himself. He prepares everything. He serves everything. He doesn't wash dishes because they use paper plates. But great stuff. They change the menu every day just on a chalkboard. It's different.
Short North. Whereabouts in the Short North?
It's if you know where the Segway store is, I think it's kind of next, right by that.
Like 700, probably.
On the west side of High Street.
On the west side of High Street, where Planet just Smoothie down, was,
right,
and where Rosendale's used to be.
Just down from the Press Grill, kind of. If you know where Press Grill and Rosendale's are,
Buttles and Hubbard.
About equidistant between there, and definitely worth getting in to try it. It's very affordable. I think it's $6.50 or something for a plate of whether you get jambalaya or etouffee, and it's served over rice, and you can get, I think, two items for $7.50 over rice, and then it comes with this great bread.
And he also, the chef, is super nice and offers to give you a taste of anything.
I tried six different things before I ordered, and he didn't seem to have any trouble. He wanted me to try everything.
And is there any
seating? He pulls that at Jenny's every time.
Is there any seating inside the restaurant? Is it just a bar?
There is. There's probably seating for, 15 or 16, a little two tops. But it's a neat looking place. I think it looks like he did all the art himself. And real nice guy. Definitely worth stopping in.
More seating than Po' Boys.
with a one table.
And that's two chairs.
Not quite as entertaining, maybe. I don't know. Nice guy, but. Yeah.
No. And this is called Dalevi. It's
D-A-L-E-V-E-E.
292-8513. We're talking about Columbus restaurants. And we're joined by Aniket. I hope I'm pronouncing that properly. Maybe not, because she's not responding. Hello.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, it's a he, not a she.
I'm sorry. I've really messed it up every way I can.
Sorry.
And never mind the name. The important thing is a really wonderful blog called Alt Eats Columbus. I don't know if you guys know about this.
Yes, we were talking about it when we opened the show.
Oh, yeah. I was late. I'm sorry.
And in fact, we had a call from Bethia probably 15, 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So you got to tune in right at 11 o'clock.
Mission previously accomplished.
No, you're right. It is great. And it's good to mention it again.
Well, just for my own knowledge, how do you pronounce your name?
Aniket.
Oh, okay. I was pretty close. Thanks so much for your call.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye. And that is a blog that tells people in Columbus about some alternative restaurants, things that you may not hear about, some little holes in the wall perhaps, some ethnic restaurants in areas that you may not be even looking for food.
Mm-hmm. And I will just say, kind of on a side note, I was going to bring this up earlier when we were talking about strip malls and stuff in Columbus. For those of you who are new to Columbus and may not know, in a lot of cities, your ethnic restaurants are located in downtown. Well, in Columbus, we had a lot of suburban growth kind of in the 80s, 70s, and 80s. And a lot of those suburban places now are where the lower rents are, especially on the northwest and the northeast side. So if you're looking for small ethnic restaurants, we do have tons of them. They just might not be in the locations you would find them in other cities. Right. The Columbus Square, where Mealy is on the northwest side. And
La Playa is there as well, very nice Italian restaurant.
Yeah, and there are lots of restaurants there, and, that's...
So I guess that's the difference with Columbus and some other, in a lot of places, strip malls symbolize the Applebee's and the TGI Fridays of the world. And in Columbus, we actually do have some gems in strip malls, and they shouldn't be discounted just because they're in a strip mall. One of my favorite Thai places in the city, Chai Thai, up in Gahanna, New Albany area on Hamilton Road, is in a strip mall, and it's a terrific restaurant. It looks great inside.
So Calvin Trillin back in the 80s said never eat at a restaurant in a strip mall or anything that's above the second floor. But I don't think that holds true in Columbus.
Well, it might be true in New York, but it's not true here in Columbus. We've got a few more minutes to go, and we'll take a call now from Anne. Go ahead. Hi, Anne.
Hi, this is Anne.
Yes, go ahead.
I just wanted to mention that from one of those places where you might not expect to have a good restaurant, Old Town East has Black Creek Bistro and Yellow Brick Pizza.
Oh, two of our favorites.
Yeah, we've reviewed both of those and love them both, especially Yellow Brick, just newer, but great place.
Right.
And the Black Creek folks who do a lot of local sourcing as well, and they have a fine wine list.
Right. And also, one thing you might want to mention is they have great desserts, very interesting unusual desserts that, in fact, that's probably what I like the best.
Yeah, well, they've always had good pastry there.
Do they do them in-house?
Yeah, they do.
And I remember they had, like, sweet corn creme brulee last year, I think, and hopefully they will do that again.
Now, have they moved across the street to their larger?
Not yet.
No, not yet.
That's going to be a couple years in the making.
It's already been a couple of years.
Yeah, I know. I got a tour from Kent Peters, the owner, and there's a lot of work to be done. But it's an amazing space once they do get over there.
I think it'll be
a terrific location.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Ann, and thank you for reminding our listeners, because those are two very, very good restaurants.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. 292-8513, and we have Jack here joining us today. Hi, Jack. Can you hear me?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Turned on the radio and heard the Rich Terrapack. I hadn't talked to Rich, I think, since 1980.
So he's talking about this Rich.
Yeah. Yeah, meeting, talking about broker services that you remember way back then.
I think so, yeah, I do.
And I remember you were cooking back then.
Yep.
A couple quick comments.
I didn't poison the kids either.
Pardon?
I didn't poison the kids. One of them's here with me.
So. The Wildflower, what a great place. The butterscotch pie, I just...
Ooh, that sounds good.
Kudos in for that. And the French toast. But two restaurants that I grew up with that aren't around anymore for two different reasons. I just wondered if you had any info on Stan's Restaurant, which burnt down on Westerbo Road in Morris. And then Milano's. I drove by there the other day. Milano's Restaurant on Westerbo and Oakland Park has closed down, which was very... made me very sad.
That was very sad. My husband's first job was at Milano's Steakhouse, so... We were sad, but I think they just retired. I think the family was getting a little, I don't really know for sure, but my understanding is that they just retired.
And how about Stan's? It burnt down and it looks like it's gone and they're not going to rebuild or anything.
I haven't heard anything regarding relocation.
No, nor have I.
No.
Yeah, that's sad.
Hopefully, if anybody out there, so we've got a few minutes left. Anybody's got any information, give us a call.
2 minutes left, and this is All Sides Weekend.
Thanks, Jack.
Thank you very much,
thanks.
Jack, and that you recognize Rich Terrapack's voice after 30 years is pretty phenomenal in and of itself. How about other areas of the city? Powell, for example, it's been an explosion of restaurants up there, although some make it, some don't.
Mm-hmm. I've always heard really awesome things about Luce.
I was going to say, Luce seems to get the most publicity.
Luce and Arteco?
Yeah. Maybe there are other great restaurants.
For those of us who live on the east side, we rely on our buddy John Christensen because he's up in that neighborhood to test them all out. And you're right, there are a lot opening. I hope it doesn't become, talk about the strip mall places, the Bethel Road scene where you've got these places that come and go.
Well, there's only that one corner in Powell.
That's right.
That's true. Everything's at Liberty and Powell Road.
That's right.
Yeah. Great little area developing up there.
And Rich, I know that you mentioned a couple weeks ago that Spinelli's, which is a deli on Neal Avenue in the Thurber.
Right. They're opening a location down on High Street downtown, just south of Gay, just a little bit in the old Otero's location.
Okay.
And Spinelli's a big favorite of Vic Village crowd. So I look forward to trying that if you're downtown.
Okay, you've got about a week left to go to the Ohio State Fair and have fried bacon dipped in chocolate. But there are good. That's the latest thing this year. There are some good sandwiches and things to be had. The Cattlemen's Association has a great ribeye steak with fries and whatever else for like $5, and they've got sandwiches for $3, and it's right next to the Dairy Barn where you can get your ice cream.
Thank you all so much for joining us today. Reviewers Rich Terrapack, Rich of Porter Wright, and his son Rich Terrapack, along with the restaurant widow. Westmont widow, Lisa Dillman, thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marilyn.
This is listener-supported WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus. Streaming on the web at WOSU.org, WOSU 820 NPR News. It's 12 o'clock.